You are listening to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career. Welcome to the next episode of Ideas and Leaders Podcast. Today, I am speaking with Jason Mark Campbell. He's the author of Selling with Love. He's on a mission to inspire small business owners with sales reluctance to embrace it as a beautiful activity that transforms lives. And today, we will be speaking a lot about sales. Hi, Jason. It's great to have you on Ideas and Leaders.
Elena, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Jason, sales has bad reputation and many people have resistance to sell. Do you know why is this and why do you love sales so much?
Yeah, a lot of people think I'm weird, especially that I associated the word love with sales. It's like, what are you doing? But yeah, I think a lot of us have this negativity towards sales because, you know, we've had our own fair share of negative sales experiences. You know, I'd be lying to say that all salespeople are angels trying to do the best for their clients. Matter of fact, there's very little barriers for people to get into sales. So anybody typically that can end up in sales might not have been their first choice. It might have been a career that they found themselves in because, well, the fact of the matter is, sales is always hiring. There's always need to bring more people that can sell because that's very easy to justify, especially if it's a commission-only position, right? So you find yourself having people that might be under-trained, under-qualified, and under-motivated to be in sales, but they're there, and some of the training or the cultures within companies might not support them to be the greatest salespeople they could be. So that being said, how can we shift our own narratives? Because now we start looking at sales like, oh my God, it's the thing that is so bad, so manipulative, so slimy that I've experienced, and when I go out there and sell, I need to be like those people? When if you look at amazing salespeople around the world and just like the top 5%, they behave in very different ways. They're just not that exciting to learn from. Like you'll see the media also plays a role at portraying sales negatively. Because what's an exciting movie about sales? Well, you'll see Mad Men, you'll see The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, that's the first thing that we think. And we think like, oh, maybe I don't want really to be that guy, right?
Yeah, 100%. Because at the end of the day, the Wolf of Wall Street is scamming people into investing in pump and dump schemes. So it's like, oh my God, do I have to become a careless, manipulative human being to get into sales? I just wanted to create a business, make an impact, make a difference, and solve people's problems. Can I do that without sales? Like that's almost the first default that I hear from people with sales reluctance, like that hesitate to sell. Is, can I do my business without sales? And no, you can't. Sales is what brings the lifeblood of a business, whether it's in the form of revenue from selling your product or service. It's also in the form of finding partners that are going to work with you if you have a supply chain. It's going to be the activity that's needed to recruit employees. And it's going to be the activity that's necessary for people to understand your vision. All of that is a result of sales. And so when I often go and speak to people about sales, I first have to just remove a lot of the garbage and preconceptions we have about sales and realize that some of the most amazing people that are the most impactful on the planet are also salespeople. I mean, I'd love to ask you, Elena, who are some of the biggest role models you look up to without looking at sales, just role models in general?
Yeah, I think that all of those amazing entrepreneurs that I'm looking up to, like Elon Musk, for example, they are amazing salespeople, right? Because they would never achieve what they achieved without selling. But I think that we don't see them selling. We see the final result. That's why we don't think that they are actually selling, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like we'll label them as an entrepreneur, we'll label them as a visionary. But what you have to understand is the majority of what they actually do brilliantly is sell in their own authentic way based on what their values are, the impact they want to make. And if you're out there trying to build yourself as a leader, you'll realize that if you have strong leadership capabilities, you will make a fantastic salesperson. And I'm not talking about an arrogant, you know, manipulative, quick-talking, slimy salespeople. No, I'm talking about an empathetic, quality listening, problem-solving individual, which is at the essence of what makes a quality salesperson that nobody really talks about. Like, imagine a movie where that would be about, like, Simon, the solid account executive, just, like, has conversations with his accounts, sets realistic targets, works together to solve problems. It'd be the most uneventful movie. It'd just be a man or a woman that's just doing good work without any drama. That's what quality sales looks like. Right. So the media definitely wants to portray the sexy side of sales. And the fact is, it's not that sexy because you look at the results that they bring and it's actually quite bad. You know, the Wolf of Wall Street is not to be someone to be mimicked or idolized if you really think about it, but the culture loves it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe that's because they are confident, they are good speakers, and that's why we think that, oh, maybe we need to be like them. But do you think that, so what do you mean by saying a good salesperson, a good quality salesperson? So is it enough just to speak with confidence, or is there something else that we need to have?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's interesting because I speak about different emotions you can sell from in my book. And, you know, I go from having shame and guilt blockages, which is, you know, people that really hesitate from selling, they feel like it's this evil thing. And, you know, what we just talked about possibly allows us to open ourselves up to something different. But the different that we often see is this confident, public speaking, no hesitation. And when I speak of sales and the loves you need in sales, one of the loves I speak about is love the process of selling. And that's when you get really interested in things like the human psychology, right? How emotions involved is a director when it comes to our decision-making patterns. You learn about scripts you can use. You learn about language patterns. You learn about webinars. You learn about advertising. That whole realm of the process of selling and marketing, if you're only focused on this, you can become extremely powerful in moving people or moving energy, the way that I label it. Because selling is nothing more than an energy exchange between conscious people. That's how I define it. And so you can become powerful in moving. But with that power comes, as Spider-Man would say, responsibility. And so you can find yourself being a really powerful salesperson who doesn't care or take responsibility. And I label this around the fear pride paradox, where it's almost like you're selling to overcompensate. There's a lack in your life and you're trying to just show that you're incredible, or you're trying to bring things in your life because you're feeling lack. And that's where you'll see these effective salespeople that are actually wreaking havoc on the way transactions are made, because you put that type of person in a very bad sales culture that doesn't really care. You can see scams, you know, con artists, deceitful practices. Because you can learn the process and be effective, but then you end up with a negative result. And, you know, it doesn't even help the salesperson that much, because, yeah, you'll get some short-term gains, but you see the same issues happen with these people, which include mental health issues, addiction issues, gambling, drugs, sex, alcohol, whatever you need to numb yourself to the reality that the energy exchange that's happening right now is not coming from a place of abundance. It's coming from fear, lack, and pride. And that ends up burning out a lot of people that are in sales.
Yes, indeed. I think that there are also a lot of good people out there with amazing products. A lot of entrepreneurs, I'm sure that many of our listeners, they have great products, but maybe they're lacking confidence to go out there and to start selling their product, maybe to have this additional call to follow up. So where do you think can we get this confidence, and if we know that our product is actually good, how can we start with sales?
Yeah, well, I often talk about how confidence actually follows competence, right? So there's skill that needs to be developed, and there's failure that needs to be experienced, particularly fear of rejection. You know, it's very interesting. If you're someone that's went to school and you're used to getting good grades, sales will probably be a devastating field to get into from an emotional standpoint, because you will be failing more often than you're succeeding. So if that would be graded, you would be failing every time, because it'll be less than 50%, unless you are targeting very specifically and reaching out very uniquely to people that desperately need what you sell. Very rare case. Most of us are going to get into conversations and, you know, maybe if we're lucky, close 30%. Some it's more like 10%. That means like out of 10 people, you'll fail at least 7 times. So there's a resiliency that needs to be built emotionally, right? So I remember the first time I made a sales call. Oh my God, I had a script, right? It was a good product, right? And the first time I picked up, I was so nervous. The person must have felt the vibration of shakiness in my voice because I was like, hi, this is Jason. And it was a real estate company. And I was like, this is Jason from ABC Real Estate. And I just want to let you know that we received your request and we'll be sending it by email in the next 24 hours. They're like, okay, thanks, bye. And they hung up on me. And I was like, I turned extremely pale. And for those who can see me can already know that I'm very pasty white. So very more pale than that. And then my boss walked in and he's just like, what's wrong? You look like you're sick. I'm like, I just had a call. The person hung up on me. I don't want to do this. Sales sucks. I was in my late teens at the time. And he just reassured me. He's like, no. Just like, I swear it doesn't happen like this. He's laughing. He's like, I swear, just give it another 10 calls. And this is the beauty of doing sales as a job, is there's that muscle of competence that does need to be practiced. And a lot of people who might be entrepreneurs will find a million other things to work on before working on sales. I can do the social media. I'll tinker with the product. I'll just work on my balance sheets and just optimize things. But it's like, you have nothing to optimize because there's no revenue coming in. So sales ends up being the primary activity that you're supposed to do when you start a business. And if you've never been put in a position of sales where you have a lot of leads that you need to contact, you have to get on the phone, you know, outreach, follow up emails, follow a process, be part of a system. There's so much you can learn when you're in the job of sales that when you become an entrepreneur, it's much easier for someone who's at least understood and experienced the ups and downs of sales. But if you haven't and you're in your business, you need to push yourself. Maybe get yourself in a group of people that stay accountable to do the activities that you need to do to be able to have this repetitive conversations with people. And that includes prospecting, following up, and having a process that brings people from identifying them, attracting them, nurturing them, and then closing them.
Yeah. We definitely need this practice. And the more we have those calls, the more the confidence we get. And I work as a communication coach with my clients. We're speaking about this. Those two types of confidence. One confidence is when you're showing that, you know, with body language, with your voice, that you're confident. And this can, in sales, it can be having a script, right? And be confident in what is your next sentence. But the other confidence is this inner confidence that when you actually feel that, yes, I'm absolutely confident going on this stage and speaking. And I think that in sales, it requires practice, right? The more calls we have, the more practice we have. And
I think one of the wonderful things in sales is that practice can be acquired quite rapidly. Like if you dedicate 1 month and you're like, I'm going to reach out to somebody on social media every day, or I'll reach out to 5 people on social media every day, just saying, hey, I just, you know, started a business doing X, Y, Z. I'm trying to have conversations with people who might need it. I'd love to hear if you would be open to a conversation. Just do 5 a day. After 30 days, you'll end up with 150 contact points with strangers. Most of them are not going to reply. Some of them will tell you to stop talking to them. And maybe a couple will say, what do you got? What are you up to? And at least now you're training a muscle saying like, hey, I'm not bothering somebody if I'm just reaching out. And on social media, it's so easy. It's so light. It's a very gentle way of practicing, but that could be a power month you could go into, you know. And then once you've done the first conversations, maybe you get on calls with people and you have conversations. You know, one of the things I do with my students is when they get started, and let's say they're a coach, and I don't know if a lot of your listeners ends up being coaches, but I tell them once they've found who they're needing to target, let's say they decide I want to work with, parents of children who are currently in high school. And they're struggling maybe with their health and fitness. And then they'll decide to target this as a group. I have one client who does that. And they're able to identify where these people are. So for example, these parents, they would be maybe in school board associations for the children, or they're maybe on WhatsApp, not WhatsApp, but Facebook groups. And they can reach out to individuals in that group and just say like, hey, listen, I'm doing a research project on what are the effects of health and fitness for mothers of teenagers and the stress that they need to go through. I'd love to ask you a few questions just to see if this is a problem that's affecting you. And now you have a really soft way that you can get into a lot of conversations with a lot of people. And the internet makes it so easy to reach so many people. And so if this competence or confidence is something you need, then the competence needs to be developed, and that's done through practice. And we can do that if we have enough willpower to realize that, hey, this is a problem I want to solve. Elena, I have to share a story about the fact that I used to be the person terrified to get in front of a stage, right? To go speak on stage was the most terrifying thing. Again, I'm going to refer to my paleness as this time I didn't turn pale white. I turned red, completely red, like a lobster that's boiling in water. And so I remember in high school, I just passed out. You know, I didn't even get to do the presentations. But in university, I'd be holding a piece of paper and I'd be speaking in one of my business clues classes. And like when you hold a piece of paper in front of the class, I'd be shaking so much you would hear the paper, which made it doubly embarrassing. And I remember when I did that presentation, I had to like turn around, take a deep breath, start again, still terrible. But I got motivation. I realized that this was so pathetic, quite frankly, that was the self-talk, which was quite negative, but it kicked my butt. It was so pathetic that I was like, I'm going to change this. And I think that's one of the big decisions you need to make is instead of putting sales in a box of negative, slimy, gross things that you never want to touch, embrace it and realize that sales is everywhere and we do it all the time. Whether it's in business to sell products or services, or even in our personal relationships. I mean, if you want to get into a romantic relationship, sales is required. And even more important is if you want to maintain a romantic relationship, sales is also required. And so acknowledging that sales, you will do it in every communication all the time, then don't put it in that shadow box. Realize that it's something that if you train and nurture, will open up to so many opportunities in your professional and personal life that you won't need to be resentful for the results that you're not getting, because this will be the single skill that allows you to get everything you want.
And actually, this outreach that you mentioned, for some people, it might be super scary to do this and just to write to random people on the internet. But I can say myself that I bought a couple of services and hired a couple of coaches only because they reached out and I needed their service at the moment. Even several weeks ago, I was thinking, oh, I should go back to running. I used to run marathons, half marathons, but then pandemic came and, you know, everything got canceled and I stopped. And then I thought, oh, I should go back to running. And then there was this running coach who followed me, liked my post. So he did some interaction on social media. I saw him. I checked what he's doing. I was like, this is exactly what I need right now. I contacted him. Next week, I was already running with him at the stadium. So this is something that is happening. So you will like, I don't know, 50 posts and write 50 messages, and maybe they will not answer. But then one person will see and will think, this is exactly what I need right now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And getting a running coach is such a good idea, because I remember I did the same and realized I was running so terribly, and it completely corrected the way that I run. And I'm so grateful that these people exist. You would have never thought someone needs a coach for running, but then you learn so much. And for a lot of people, this is it. What you offer might feel like common knowledge to you, but it could be so specialized for someone else who's really looking to solve a problem in their life. And I think we forget that. And I think it gives us confidence when we realize that hey, there's someone that's out there that might be suffering because you haven't reached out and told them that you can fix what's bothering you right now. And it might be exactly what they're looking for.
Yes, absolutely. So Jason, in your book, Selling with Love, you are speaking about the five loves of selling. Can you share those loves with our listeners?
Yeah, of course. So I speak about the five loves because if you're not, you know, if you're someone that truly wants to make a difference, you're an impact, ethical business, then there's five loves in selling that you can apply that'll make sales feel good, be effective, and empower you to do it with confidence, right? And ideally, it's just having the right foundations and clarity in place so that you know every time you approach someone with sales, you're coming in with the right intentions. So here are the five loves. The first love you want to have is love the impact. So you want to be crystal clear on the difference that you make in people's lives when you sell to them. So if you have clients, What's the difference that happens when they buy your product or service? What is the problem that disappears? What is the thing that's less expensive for them now, or less risky for them, or easier for them? There's always something that happens in their life, and you want to get as clear as you can on what all those things are. Oftentimes, this would be referred to as benefits. But if you're having struggles writing benefits, think in the terms of impact. What's the impact that's going to happen to the client as a result of buying your product and service? So in my case, I do, you know, sales consulting, sales training. So for me, I know that for someone who buys into what I sell, I get to massively reduce their anxiety when it comes to selling. I get them to feel confident about their product and service, get them excited about their business again. I help them grow revenue, profit, and impact at the same time. And when I get more clear, I have a whole list of things that I know that I do for people, that when it comes time that I need to sell for people, and I know that I'm going to make that difference in their life, I'm excited to sell. You know, they often say in sales, you got to be enthusiastic. Well, it's fake if you're faking it, but if you genuinely see the difference you're going to make in people's life, trust me, your enthusiasm goes up. And I even expanded to think about the ripple effects, right? Because if I sell to one person, what happens to everyone around them? So if one small ethical company ends up being better at selling, well, they get to expand their business, which actually outcompetes maybe sub-quality companies that are manipulative, and they lose market share and the more ethical businesses succeed. That's the kind of world I want to see. So I really encourage people to take a moment and get clear on their impact. And when you do that, you'll have a lot of the marketing and sales material that justifies why you're selling. Because a lot of people will be like, why are you selling this to me? Well, this is a future I want to see, and I want you to be a part of it. Now you're recruiting, right?
So yes, absolutely. That would be the first one. We need to know this meaning behind our business and actually to see the results. I think that speaking to our clients helps to hear their words, to get those testimonials, and to actually understand that, wow, I'm doing this. I think that, listening and reading your testimonials helps a lot in getting this confidence in selling.
Well, you jump into write the second love, which is exactly that, right? Is how do you love the client, right? How do you love the client? I'm not talking romantic love, unless that's your business, but I'm talking more about the real way to show love for your clients is to understand them. And you just shared it, Elena, which is have conversations with your client. Ask them questions. Why did you buy? What was your life before you bought? What happened when you did buy? You know, tell me about what an average day looks like. What does it change with the fact that I came into your life and sold you my product or service? And again, if you don't have existing clients, you can use the example I was saying earlier is you probably have an idea of the type of client you can help. Start having conversations with them, even without the intention of selling. Just get curious about people. I think that'll be the number one quality you can nurture as a salesperson or a business owner is get curious about the people you serve, because the more you understand them, the more you get to show love to them. Yeah. That'll make it very easy for you to use the language that's necessary for them to understand the value that you want to give to them. And so you start with the impact, then you move on to the client. Love the client.
Yeah. So impact, client, and the third one.
Third one actually comes into the product, right? So if you have a clear understanding of the impact and you have a clear understanding of who you're selling to, then you can design a product that you're proud to sell. You know, one of the lowest vibrations when it comes to selling is actually when you sell from an emotion of guilt and shame. And oftentimes that comes from misconceptions we've had around, like we talked about earlier, which is, oh, sales is yucky. But a very healthy, and I'll say this in quotes, but a very healthy dose of shame and guilt blockages in sales comes with the fact that maybe your product isn't as good as it could be, right?
Or and maybe someone else is doing a better job on the market. Maybe my course or my product is not the best one and someone else could be better. Yeah. I think that I've seen expensive. This a lot among the coaches on the market.
Yeah, you might see some other coach out there is doing it better, has more experience and, you know, are serving a mass market. You're like, oh, wow, I can't compete with that. If you tell yourself that, then you're right. You should have a different mindset. You should start realizing, hey, maybe there's a few clients I can serve them so much more intimately than anybody else can because I'm a small business. And Elena, this is a bit more scripting thing that I love to share with people. But if you're just starting out, you have the luxury of being so dedicated to your first clients that no big business can be. You know, if I'm selling to you, Elena, and you're one of my first clients, I'd say, Elena, listen, you're going to be one of my first clients, which means I need a case study from the transformation we're going to do together. So no matter what it is that you buy, you're going to become my client and I'm going to guarantee to take you through the finish line. And that's my dedication to you. And that's why I'd love for you to give me a chance. It's a very powerful way to sell. And you're going to be putting a lot of love into the way you sell to people so that you know you're going to bring them to the transformation you want to give them or solve the problem that you know you solve as your business with the product or service. So even if you're just getting started, you hold an advantage because people want to do business with other people that will care about solving their problem. And you can do that at the beginning. And if you do that well, you're going to build the foundations of a great client base. So love the product, build it amazing, build an amazing product, over deliver, and know that there's always little things you can improve to make your product even better.
Yeah. This is a great one. And I think it is it is so important for us to understand that our products are perfect for someone. There is this ideal client for everyone. And even if we think that maybe someone is doing a better job, they will always be an ideal client for you, for your product. So yeah, we need to understand that our product is perfect as it is, and you know, just go out there and sell.
There's another type of undervaluation of our product, but I'll get to that when we get to the last love. The fourth love is actually love the process. We talked about it already. This is realizing that, hey, if you've taken the time to love the impact, taken the time to love the client, and taken the time to love the product, you've already done more than most people will do in the ways that they study sales. Is now you've actually stacked the fact that every sale that you make is going to be value first, impact first, ethical, and clean. You know that when somebody buys something from you, they're going to get so much more than what you're asking in return. And that's the key to selling with love. I mentioned earlier that selling is an energy exchange. Well, when you know what you offer is so much more than what you ask in return, that's how you sell with love. So how do we sell? We sell when we love the process of selling. And the process of selling is not manipulation, it's empathy. It's learning the language that's necessary for people to understand the value you want to bring to them. You know, if I'd go to Portugal and start speaking English, they might understand me a bit, but I'm not speaking Portuguese. Imagine if I go in there and speak some fluent Portuguese, people will be much more understanding of me and they'd be like, wow, okay, I understand the language. Now we're speaking the same language. Sales is just another language. So if I understand that people make decisions with a filter of emotions, then what are the events that I can create and what are the activities I can put in place so that they truly understand that I'm here to make an impact and I'm going to use what is necessary for them to understand the value I want to provide to them and how much I'm going to make their life so much better. And so you speak the language that's necessary. And that's sales. And it's not manipulative. It's empathy. It's caring.
Yeah, it is so important to know the process and to... also, I think that many people have this resistance to, scenarios and all those standard sales phrases. Because very often we kind of don't like certain things ourselves. And when we have to do it, maybe I will do it my way.
That's great. I encourage this. You know, you can look at certain frameworks and realize that's not for me. I'll give you an example. I remember Mindvalley at some point was a company I worked for, personal growth education, and they were going to do this thing having exit pop-ups on websites, right? Where it's like you go to scroll on the X button and something pops up and says like, wait, go, stay. And we saw a little increase in conversions, but then we realized, you know what? Is this really what we want to do with the brand? Like maybe the conversion grows a little bit, but what if the people that we are annoying now? Is that really what we want to build as a brand? And so I'd encourage anybody that's using the process of sales to only use the things that are effective and that fit your values, right? You might realize that, hey, webinars, I hate webinars. Well, why do you hate webinars? Is it just because people have been doing bad webinars? Because you could do webinars your way. You know, the crappy webinar would be you jump in and it's just basically telling you a sob story and then pitching you, right? But maybe you decide, you know what, I'm genuinely going to teach people. I know for me, I have huge resistance to webinars. Why? Because I've seen so many terrible webinars and I don't want to be another dude putting together webinars. So I've started doing like 5-day challenges and I teach extensively in my challenge and people walk away with value. And then it's so crazy because at the end, I'm like, hey, I'd love to pitch a product and I'll show you how I pitch it. And then you get to make a decision. You can go on your own and that's fine. You'll actually start learning. You've got a map. Go roll. If you want to have accountability, more insights, and have, you know, my support along the way, then let's book a call and then you can join the membership. And people are like, great, at least you're not abandoning the people who don't buy. You can do it in a way that feels good to you. And then you'll be excited to do webinars. I had the biggest resistance, but now that I have my challenge, I'm like, I love doing this because no matter if they buy or not, I get to help. And that is an energy you can come from when you come from a place of love.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I broke this rule myself. I must say that I did webinars and I gave so much value that I got feedback from my colleagues that you're giving so much value. It could be a separate course. Don't do this. And I was like, no, this is what I want to do. This is what I feel that I want to do. And people got value, but still they came back and I got clients out of this. Of course, I had many people who just continued on their own with this knowledge. But I think that we just need to do it our way and find our own processes, right?
Yes, you can always get inspired by best practices. Definitely don't be blind to that. But then put in your own twist and see what feels right. And there's nobody that's ever went out of business for giving too much value. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can be in a casual situation, but you're going to be building a following. You're going to be building a brand. So I don't think any person is losing out by over giving, because you're going to get it in experience. You're going to get it in referral. And at some point, you just want to structure it in a way where you're not spreading yourself thin and not making money for it. I do feel like you need to actually make value and generate money for yourself, because nobody wants to build a business that makes an impact where you're a martyr who's struggling to do it. The world needs more role models that are making good money doing good things, and you should be one of them. This segues really nicely into the last love of it, and I think this is a great way to close, which is you have to have the self-love. That's the last love, right? The whole journey is about self-love, right? That's why we're here. That's why we're growing. That's why we're learning. And that's why when I spoke about the product, some of you who maybe the product you're selling is you, there might be more resistance, right? Selling yourself, a lot of insecurities come through, and that's okay. Know that when you're in sales, you're on a fast track to growth because you're failing a lot. And every time you fail, you grow. You know, all the experts say that. You're having high, you know, interactions with people, which means you're interacting, you're having emotional transfers all the time. That makes you grow. And then you're going to discover all the pain points that you have that hold you back. It becomes one of the most raw experiences of growth when you jump into sales. And I just want to make sure that anybody who's listening to this is at least excited with the idea that you can sell your way. You can sell from a place of love. It puts you on a beautiful journey. And once you master this, you become unstoppable. You get to have all the power and you get to take responsibility. Because like I said earlier, we need more role models that can go out there and sell with love.
Wonderful. And I think that this is a great summary for our interview. Thank you so much, Jason, for being on Ideas and Leaders. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners, they changed their attitude towards sales a little bit after listening to you. So if our listeners want to contact you, want to buy your book, Selling with Love, where can they do it?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do is go to sellingwithlove.com. You'll find my podcast that I host as well, which is all about interviewing sales leaders. And you'll notice that everyone I bring on are talking about how to be a better salesperson. And it's not like your slimy salespeople you think about. It's really how to be a great leader, how to be an amazing human being, and bringing people towards solutions. And you'll see there's links to buy the book, and you can get in contact with me as well. So reach out, connect, and I'd love to see that I get to shift a few people to start selling with love, because the more people do it, the world becomes better for everyone.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jason, for being on the podcast. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Ideas and Leaders podcast. Did you enjoy this episode? Let me know that you listened by tagging me in your LinkedIn profile and using a hashtag #IdeasAndLeaders. See you in the next episode.